Finally today, to a story that features Nazi bombs, Sir Winston Churchill, and priceless pieces of art. It's a tale that was initially a secret, but one that is still proudly celebrated by a world-famous gallery even to this day. From London, here's our Europe correspondent, James Glenday.
Britons have, of course, always been proud of their efforts during the Second World War, but ever since Brexit, it seems the so-called Blitz spirit, that keep calm and carry on kind of attitude, is invoked by some politicians or media commentators more often and in a more pointed way. And it was an offhand comment during a Brexit discussion on radio that led me to stumble across a war story I hadn't heard before about one of the country's most loved institutions.
The young men of the new German Reich, welded into a mighty war machine.
It starts in the late 1930s, when Britain was bracing itself as Nazi Germany threatened to topple several European nations. At the National Gallery on Trafalgar Square, there were major concerns about what war could mean for the safety of the country's cultural treasures. Suzanne Bosman, a gallery employee who quite literally wrote the book on this topic, says there were fears they could all be obliterated.
Well, a couple of reasons, really. Mostly because everybody thought that if there was war, London would be carpet bombed. Because the example of the Spanish Civil War, where Guernica was razed to the ground, Madrid was bombed, they thought that London was going to be completely, you know, obliterated. But also, I think that there was already an awareness that the Nazis were actually collecting works of art. I think that they'd already perhaps purloined some works in Czechoslovakia.
So the artworks were removed from the gallery and quickly taken to temporary locations across the country, mostly to grand houses or castles in Wales. As the threat of a Nazi invasion increased, there was discussion about whether it was worth trying to dodge the U-boats in the Atlantic to get the paintings to Canada. Prime Minister Winston Churchill was even asked his opinion.
And of course, Churchill, I think, obviously knew that this was a real propaganda thing, because if the paintings left the UK, like the royal family had been proposed to leave the UK, it would give such a bad signal to everybody, you know, rats leaving the sinking ship sort of thing. So he said no. And the reported quotation, which we know, is, you know, hide them in caves and cellars, but not one picture shall leave this island.
His decree meant the hunt was on for a new secret, secure spot underground. Wales, which was remote yet also had good railway links, was considered the most logical choice, and it was decided a disused slate mine at Manod in the north fitted the bill perfectly. Special bungalows were built underground to keep the paintings secure, and the quiet isolation gave gallery staff time to thoroughly study the collection. National Gallery archivist Richard Ragg says it even helped lead to new discoveries.
The two real benefits to getting them into Manod, one that you could monitor temperature and humidity conditions, and it had always been assumed that stable conditions were good for paintings, but this was the first time it could really be tested. But there were also some advantages to getting them away from where they had been stored. They'd been scattered, as I say, all over Wales. For example, at Carnarvon Castle they'd been stored. In one case, they were in a library with a very old central heating system where pipes were running under the floor, and that just messed up the humidity completely. The only way they could stabilise the humidity was by taking blankets to a nearby stream, dunking them to drench them with water, and then hanging them up in the library. You know, conservators here at the gallery would just shriek at that suggestion now.
Once a month, the picture was sent back to London and put on display to boost morale in the badly bombed city. After 1945, the government kept the site for possible use during the Cold War, and it only gave it up in the early 1980s.
What happens if there's a war today?
Well, I think that, you know, there are definitely plans in place for any contingencies. Obviously, I can't go into any detail about them, but there are. Rest assured that there are definitely clear plans.
The Welsh contingency is still proudly celebrated on the gallery's website and was recently featured in a temporary exhibition. It's also quite regularly used as evidence of Britain's defiance during one of its darkest hours. To an outside observer, it certainly doesn't appear to have much to do with modern British politics or Brexit in any way, but it's a pretty compelling story all the same, and one perhaps worth sharing. In London, this is James Glenday for Correspondence Report.